Facebook is at it again. Yesterday, the social media giant made another major change. It updated its newsfeed. That's the page, of course, that lets you see what your friends are up to. But many people have been grumbling for months that their friends' posts aren't popping up in their newsfeeds and that their posts aren't getting as many likes and shares. New York Times columnist Nick Bilton says that started when Facebook began offering users the chance to pay to promote their posts. And he thinks Facebook is now limiting the number of people who see your posts unless you pay for them. Nick joins us from KQED in San Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And Nick, this story has generated a ton of interest and a response from Facebook. But could you first tell us what you started to notice and how you tested your theory?
Well, so I've been on Facebook for years, like most people have today. And I started to notice about a year ago, they introduced the subscribe feature, which is essentially like the follow feature that, Twitter has. And I quickly amassed around 25,000 subscribers, and partially because of what I do at the New York Times and so on. I started resharing my columns and my news articles on Facebook. And immediately, you know, with 25,000 subscribers, I was getting thousands of likes and hundreds of reshares and, comments and so on. And now, a year later, I have 400,000 subscribers, and when I share something, it gets as little as 11 likes and no reshares and no comments. And so about a week ago, I put one of my columns online, and I saw this little button that said, promote this post. And so I clicked it, and I paid $7 to Facebook for them to promote my post to people that follow me. And lo and behold, I got, you know, a huge interaction. And as I started to look at the numbers, you know, the math just didn't add up as far as why people weren't seeing things. And, it looked to me that Facebook was highlighting things that people were paying for and kind of getting rid of stuff that people weren't.
You mentioned you paid $7 to have your post promoted, and it costs more for businesses. Aren't there tiered pricing, whether you're an individual or a company?
Yeah, there was, you know, the response to this column has been, you know, quite amazing. And, I've gotten hundreds of emails from people that have said, you know, I run a small business or a large business, and I have hundreds of thousands or millions of followers, and Facebook wants me to pay as much as $7,500 to promote one post to, you know, 80% of my subscribers. And, you know, when you do the math, someone just messaged me this morning and said, when you do the math, that would be about $1 million a year for the things that I post on Facebook.
So what's the Facebook rationale here, other than just making money? Why would people want to do this?
They're under a lot of pressure to make money. Their public offering didn't go in any direction that they thought it would. And I think that as a result, they're trying pretty much everything they can to grow their revenue. You know, one of the problems is Facebook is an algorithm-based feed. You know, if you look at Twitter, it's all timeline-based. So everything just falls into this timeline stream based on when people actually post their tweets. But with Facebook, they have this algorithm that says, hey, we're going to try to figure out what is the best piece of content for you. And as a result, people don't really know how that works. And I think that that's where the questions come in.
So if you pay to have your post promoted, does that somehow change the algorithm?
Yes. So what happens is if you pay to have your post promoted, you get put to the top of the newsfeed. So when I post my column on a weekly basis, on average now with 400,000 subscribers and about 2,500 friends, quote unquote, I get about an interaction of 30 likes and 2 reshares. That's the average. So a year ago, I was getting 500 likes and 300 reshares. And now, if I pay to promote it, I go back up to those huge numbers again. So what Facebook is doing, if I pay, is they're going to highlight that post that I'm not getting any interaction on otherwise.
Now, Facebook disputes, however, that it's suppressing people's posts when they don't pay. Isn't that right?
Correct, yeah. And what they're saying is, well, if your content isn't good enough, then we're not going to show it. And they're also saying that they're seeing a 34% increase in interaction with people that have 10,000 subscribers or more. But 34% means nothing. 34% could be a 34% of 10 or of 10,000. It's two completely different numbers. And so I don't really think that they're being forthright in exactly what's going on.
In the response that Facebook issued to you, they may have made a slight dig at you by saying that the newsfeed changes they made may have decreased the distribution for less engaging stories. What was your take on that?
I thought it was quite funny, but yes, they have said that. So my response to them was, sure, maybe my columns aren't very good. You know, totally fine, get it. But it's happening to lots and lots of different people. I mean, I literally am getting hundreds of emails from people saying this. And the other thing I pointed out is there are instances where I share these columns. I don't just share them on Facebook. I share them on Twitter, on Google+, on TechMeme, Y Combinator, all these different websites. And the response that I'm getting on those things has just continued to grow. You know, I'll have a column that will get 17,000 retweets and then on Facebook gets 11 likes. So I don't know if I'm buying the engagement factor.
Now, this isn't just aggravating for recreational Facebook users or a blow to the ego for people who like getting likes. It's also hurting some small businesses. Tell us how that's playing out.
Well, that's the point. I mean, look, I mean, I get it. I'm a journalist and I'm trying to get people to read my stories. And the way we live now, Facebook and Twitter are the printing presses that we use to share that stuff to people. And if it doesn't work, I have to go elsewhere. That's part of my job. But I think where it becomes really frustrating is for small businesses that rely on Facebook to reach their customers. And they're now being asked to pay to reach them. And somebody wrote in and said, you know, they had paid Facebook up to $50,000 to buy subscribers. So you can say, hey, I want to promote my business on Facebook and I want to pay Facebook to get me more people to like and subscribe to my page. And so this company had done that. And then after they'd spent all that money and they'd increased their subscriber base, Facebook said, hey, well, now if you want to reach them, you're going to have to pay us again. And I think that that's where it becomes really frustrating.
Is this just capitalism at work now that Facebook is under pressure to make more revenue now that it's a public company?
Oh, I think without a doubt it's capitalism at work, but it's a different type of capitalism, right? You know, I think that we're essentially employees on Facebook, right? We're creating the content. You know, Facebook likes to think of itself as a media company, but they don't pay me. What they pay me with is the fact that if I share content on the network, I can then get people to click through and read my stories or buy my books and things like that. So that's why I'm creating content and putting it on Facebook. But when I then have to pay in addition to that, there's no point in me using the service.
Nick, in your columns, you've also touched on some antitrust issues, like whether Facebook could get in trouble in the same way that Microsoft and Google have gotten in trouble in the past for promoting their products. In this case, the product would be a promoted post by Facebook rather than an organic post where no money changes hands. Do you see Facebook legally vulnerable there?
There are people that think there are antitrust issues, but I spoke to lawyers, you know, that specialize in this and that have covered these cases before. And the irony is, although Facebook has a billion users, it still doesn't have a monopoly on people on planet Earth. You know, there are still 6 billion people that don't use the service. And I think that there are two kind of things that could happen. One is they reach 2 billion users, whatever that number is, to which they start to draw the ire of regulators, or they lose competition. So right now they have Twitter as competition, technically have Google Plus and a number of other networks. So Facebook's lawyers could say, well, if you don't like it, you can go elsewhere. And that is what, you know, makes it not a monopoly.
You've written that you've stuck with Facebook over the years throughout its various privacy changes, even though you disagreed with them. But you seem really frustrated by this situation about paid posts. So is this what's finally going to push you to leave Facebook?
You know, it's really difficult. As a reporter, it's a tool that I need. But I do think that I may stop using the service the way I do. If I'm not going to get any interaction from sharing content on there, then I'm not going to waste my Sunday morning going on there and posting things.
Nick Bilton is a columnist and lead writer for the New York Times Bits blog. He spoke with us from San Francisco. Nick, thank you.
Thank you.
We've been noticing on our own Facebook page that our posts aren't getting as much traction as they used to. So help us do a little experiment. Go to facebook.com/hereandnowradio and like our page. Then add Here and Now to your interests by editing your profile. We want to see if more people will see our posts that way, or if, as Nick Bilton believes, paying is the magic ingredient. Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Robin Young returns on Monday. Have a great weekend, and please join us again here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.